We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar is a man who apparently is a champion, a football champion of an undetermined year, in the 19-somethings, he is the fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
Just an old jersey.
I'd say it was 2019, but that shirt looks like it is from 19-something.
There's no way that shirt's from 2000-anything.
Uh-uh. Do you know any number 19s, Tuna?
I like how 19s? Long the sleeves are. Yeah. Like, they don't make shirts like that anymore.
Well, they go over my shoulder pads.
This is for all the times you wear shoulder pads.
I got a 19 for you.
Okay.
And he was, I don't know if he still is, the Michael all-time Bush. Lead. Well, yeah. He was 19,
yeah,
wasn't
he? Was.
Who?
Michael Bush.
Michael Bush was 19.
Oh, my God.
And the all-time leading receiver in the history of Indiana University, at least up until a few years ago, was Courtney Roby. He was number 19.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Played for the Dolphins for a while.
We got two 19s,
wow,
right?
Wow, man, I was thinking that would be really tough. I don't think I can think of a Hall of Famer that was 19.
Probably not.
Well, Bush is in the Ring of Honor,
and he was on his way to being really something incredible.
Oh, yeah, he was.
The 2006 year, the year that we won the national championship, according to four computer polls.
Who could forget that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He did have 123 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half against Kentucky before he broke his leg.
Yes.
Right.
So,
a lot of fans still blame Wesley Woodyard for that, but
Freddie and I were watching that game together in the backyard of my old house.
You know, I flew home from Afghanistan for 2 weeks, and I was in town for that game. I had landed about 8 hours before kickoff, and then I was at home for the Miami game the week after, and we won that one. And then I went right back. And then I watched the rest of that season on Armed Forces Network at like 4 a.m. every time they played.
Was that the year they lost to Rutgers at the very end?
Jeremy Ito.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. That was a hell of a team, man. They had Kenny Britt, Ray Rice. Savage was the quarterback up there. So
Matt Savage.
Yeah, not Fred.
And who was the coach, Tuna?
Well, that was Bobby Petrino.
No,
for Rutgers was
Greg Schiano.
Greg Schiano.
That was Greg Schiano version 1.0.
Yep.
Before he came back.
Yep.
But just real quick, always want to remind people that we are on social media on Twitter, X, and on Facebook. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. If they are especially right now, a football fan, we've got a lot of good feedback from our conference previews, and the games actually started last week. Now this week we have and then here's what's great about this week one is Thursday night, there's good games. Friday night, there's good games. Saturday, there's good games. Sunday, there's good games. Like, this is really
Monday night, we've got a game.
Yeah.
Monday night.
True. So really, this is a college football fan's dream scenario coming up, and it all gets started as we record this on a Wednesday evening. It all gets started tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is the last day without football for 5 straight days.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, just stop and think. Soak that in for just a minute.
Soak it in. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to grill Thursday or tomorrow night and then what I'm going to grill Friday.
Order takeout and watch the games. That's what I say.
I'll have a few people over at the Capstone and I'll probably grill a little bit here and there. Nothing major, but I can't do ribs because we're doing ribs on Saturday.
I have to coach.
First world problems.
And we're having steaks at Travis's
Sunday. We're doing steaks.
Yes, yes, for sure. I have to coach a golf match tomorrow. But I've already instructed my team that pace of play will be at a premium tomorrow evening.
That's right.
At 8 o'clock, we got to kick off in Arrowhead Stadium.
I would like to be home ready to enjoy games by 8 o'clock.
No Patrick Cantley's out there.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah. Trust me, anyone that plays golf for me, especially at this level, our mantra is if you are playing well, play fast. If you are playing bad, play faster.
I think they just put him on the Ryder Cup team to piss off whoever he's playing. Like, he's the cooler. You just send him in to go against whoever's hot that day.
That's another thing. I've been so busy today. I just briefly had a chance to glance at that. I know Keegan did not put himself on the team, which I think a lot of people were kind of surprised by that, mm-hmm. that he was going to be a player captain. But I think maybe some of the vice captains and maybe
he
even
talked to Tiger about that. He said they had a long talk about it. They all agreed. Seems like all the higher ups.
He just needed
to
focus on being the captain, right?
Right,
it's too much to have
to
worry about.
Even though
he is playing
well.
When's the last time we've had a captain not play?
We haven't had a captain play.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's usually somebody old.
Yeah, it's
you know, or older.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great question. When the last time, or if we have ever had a player captain, I would maybe back in the 80s or something, if they let
something
Jack do it or
something.
Something
makes me think that Weisskopf did that.
I honestly don't remember. That would have been well before the time that golf like that was on my radar.
I just remember when he died not long ago, I felt like that was something they talked about.
Hmm. I don't know. I would have to look that up. But
ask Smiley Kaufman.
Yes.
I love Smiley.
I know you do.
But we did have games last week, and I know Fred, because, not that we didn't hear about it almost incessantly while the game was going on.
It's nice to see you win with grace this season.
He's really turned over a new leaf,
yeah,
Tuna.
I know.
Where,
I did for a while, y'all thought.
He started crowing about it in the middle of the first quarter, and then was saved by the skin of his teeth.
Right after I started jabbering.
God, that stretch out right there where it just went down.
At the half-yard line at the end of the ball game to save Freddie's first under of the year. and the cover, I think. But that was kind of the marquee game of the weekend. We're speaking of the Iowa State-Kansas State game that was played over in Ireland in traditional Irish weather.
Well, that first quarter was absurd.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it was like the British Open.
It was so bad. Like, the numbers washed off the field. And then the guys that were putting the yellow line on the field in the booth, they're like, we can't even see the lines to put. So we're not putting a yellow line. Yeah. So you're just watching it like you're watching a high school game, you know, on a November Friday night.
The Ice Bowl.
Yeah. It was something else.
Not to mention not just the fact that the game ended on the half-yard line, but what were there, 2 turnovers inside the 10 or 15-yard mm-hmm. line that should have at least been a field goal? I mean, although in that weather, who the hell knows? But all the football gods were smiling on Freddie that day.
They were, I would have to say.
They were.
Man.
But what did you guys think beyond the fact of the weather and all those things? What did you guys think about the way that that game played out?
All right. I know Fred and some people have kind of bashed Avery Johnson. And when you watch
and
this.
His daddy.
When you, yeah, that. When you watch this game, like, what was the big glaring weakness that you've seen from Kansas State on offense?
I mean, I didn't see them. They really didn't commit to the running game much.
Because it was non-existent, because Dylan Edwards got hurt on that first play.
On that first play.
So when you take, like, a stud running back out, and then your running game kind of goes to shit in a game where weather
is
creating a run opportunity.
Right.
Like, the other guys just didn't. Joe Jackson did okay, but that Price and Rice and those guys, like, first of all, their running style can't adapt to that type of field.
And I didn't catch the very, very, very beginning of it, so I didn't even know that he had gotten hurt.
Yeah.
And they were
playing with a true freshman safety. They're all Big 12 safety. Didn't start that game. He's still a little banged up from camp. And all in all, I thought the freshman safety played pretty well. I thought their defense, all in all, played pretty well. There was only so much that you can do. And then both offenses kind of started going once it dried up a little bit. And you could kind of see more. And I thought Avery Johnson really picked himself up there in the third and fourth quarter. And I thought he looked pretty good. Now, Rocco Beck, like, everybody wants to praise him. We're talking a guy that went 14 for 28 for 183. I'm not going to get excited about that.
I'm not excited about that, his performance.
Now, Carson Hansen, I thought, was their offense. Like, he ran the ball well. He caught the ball well out of the backfield.
Yep.
I want to see more from their wide receivers.
Which they don't have much of.
Exactly.
You're talking about Iowa State, right?
Going forward, I know you have them picked to win the Big 12.
I know.
I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying that was the first game of the season, and I think both teams have some lumps that they got to grow up before we can consider either of these teams Big 12 champs.
And it's hard to look back at where they played, how far away they were. You know, even if you're on the road in the Big 12, you're more in a comfort zone than you are in Ireland.
Yeah.
With it raining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we did have it was a conference game, so it counts for Iowa State.
Absolutely.
1-0. But you're right. There's not much to take away from how it was, the weather, who got hurt. You almost have to – well, you know what? We may revisit that game again.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
That game may happen again.
Well, Dylan Edwards is out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So that they're going to have to –
meet each other in the Big 12 final.
Now, I do expect, you know, Devin Rice to be a little bit more effective in a dry field, but, like, his little scat back style of running – it just could not translate there.
Right.
But
I didn't really like Kansas State's play calling.
Yeah.
Throughout the game either.
I think they were kind of had stars in their eyes there for a while. And then, like I said, that offense really around the third and fourth quarters, they really kind of picked it up and they looked sharp. I thought they were, well, they had that one receiver. I forget his name. I mean, what was that kid, like 6'6"? He looked like two feet taller than everybody on the field.
I believe he was.
Yeah. So, but was it Jace Brown? No.
I can't think of what his name
but
was.
But, yeah. Anyway.
But
they
Iowa State, to me, and this is why I've liked them a lot, yes, I have bet the under on them, and they did have a better defense last year, but I know they returned some people this year. Mm-hmm. I like their coaches' mentality, but they do have a knack for making the big plays when they need them, and that's what some other schools don't have.
Definitely, it doesn't have to look pretty as long as you win the game. That's really at the end of the day all that matters. So,
and that almost was a 2-touchdown victory.
Almost was, but then you would have lost the over.
Right, I know.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think that kind of puts a bow on Ireland. There's really nothing sexy about what we watched other than the fact that it was college football.
I think I may have said blowout, but.
No. I mean, they win by 3.
No. Yeah, I said if they would have scored the touchdown.
There was one story that kind of came out about the Hawaii and Stanford game, where Hawaii won on a last-second field goal, and I just thought it was an interesting story, and maybe some of you all have not heard this, that the kicker for Hawaii, who ended up kicking the game-winning field goal, is a kid from Japan who was over here. I forget what he was doing over here, but he was over here at a Morton's Steakhouse somewhere, and he saw a college football game on television, and he saw a kicker, you know, a field goal kicker, and he said, "Man, I would like I'd like to do that, I think." And apparently he went back home and learned how to kick, I believe they said, by watching YouTube videos. Is that correct?
Yes.
Have you heard this?
Yes.
So he learned how to kick by watching YouTube videos. He's like, how old is he? He's like 20.
I don't know. He's up there.
He's an older kid to be a first-year college football player. Anyway, he teaches himself to kick. He lands at University of Hawaii, and in his very first game, he kicks the game-winning field goal against, I mean, albeit not a great team, but a legitimate power conference football team, mm-hmm. and kicks the game-winning field goal. And I thought that was really cool, and I'm always hyped for the Rainbow Warriors. We talked about them a little because of Timmy Chang, and I always liked June Jones when he was there and those guys.
Colt Brennan,
yep. the late great Colt Brennan,
and they always play well at home.
Well, they don't play at the old stadium anymore where they used to play the Pro Bowl.
As Bodie would say, nothing like Waimea, bro.
But I thought that was cool. Anything else from the very, I guess, week zero that caught your attention, games you want to talk about?
Yeah, Western Kentucky, man.
Yes, for
that,
sure.
That offense is, it looks clicking. This quarterback, man, Maverick McIver.
I told you they were high on him.
McIver, baby.
First of all, what a name.
Total great
like,
name.
Like, all out, like, stud name. And then he plays like his name is Maverick McIver. Like,
that's right.
I really like this kid. Yes. It was electric. And that was a good, like, people had Sam Houston State, like, you know, ranked to finish in the top of Conference USA, like, up there. So that's a huge conference win for Western right out of the gate.
Big time.
Western's going to be a fun team to keep an eye on this year, man.
We may have to, since our former Western quarterback, who was kind of the unofficial quarterback mascot of our podcast, yeah. I got his autographed cleats down here in the downstairs pub.
Nice.
Ryan, it may be time for an upgrade.
We need
Maverick McIver, something autographed by Maverick McIver. I'm going to work on that as the season progresses. But yeah,
let me see his stat line. I'm going to try to pull that up.
Their offense was fantastic, fun.
33 of 51 for 401 yards.
Yeah. Oh, just tossing it all over the
field.
And
they are going to be involved in a lot of games like that where they score a bunch of points and they give up a bunch of points. They are going to be one of the teams, well, not just because of our attachment to them for various reasons, but they're just going to be an entertaining team to watch throughout this season. And they do go to LSU at the end of the year.
It's crazy how Western Kentucky has a knack for hiring explosive offensive coach after explosive offensive coach.
You're right.
It doesn't matter who's down there. They're going to like put up exciting.
Fans are coming to the games. That town has blown up the last 15, 20 years. Might as well make it fun, right?
Building Corvettes and throwing touchdowns,
that's
man.
That's right. That's what we do.
They're all about speed in Bowling Green.
Damn right.
By God. Anybody else?
Oh, no. I mean, I think we kind of knew Kansas was going to blow out Fresno. Fresno's really down this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas did put a game together.
They look sharp doing
it. I covered heavily on that. And
this is going to be the year that Lance Leipold, like,
I mean, they were giving,
actually does something.
They were giving,
and I'm not
14,
gonna be betting on
and I was a little, yeah. I mean, you know, I thought that they showed up. in a conference. Is Fresno?
No.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, no. But good job by them.
They will be in the Pac-12. When the new Pac-12, right, when that starts, right. But no,
but I
not.
Think we need to talk a little bit about UNLV.
Yeah, that's
Dan
what I was. Just, that's where I was just going to go. I was going to say, how about UNLV?
I missed the first half of that, Tuna. So you're going to have to fill us in.
Okay, I'm not going to overreact to week one because this UNLV team has a lot of new players. Now our boy Alex Georgie looked a little rough. Everybody looked a little rough. This is an Idaho State team that's always kind of competing up there in the FCS level.
Right, yeah.
So they came in, and these are guys that have played together for a while, and this is probably the biggest game on their schedule. So we probably should have spotted this being a little closer game than what it was. I believe that was a 38-point spread, something
yeah, it was,
ridiculous
it was something like
that.
That.
If we were smart, we may have looked a little bit closer at that. I just kind of stayed away from that. Usually if I see spreads over, 25, I'm not messing with the shit. But UNLV just had nothing going on. They were sloppy with the ball, just turnovers. The defense looked lethargic and lost. Again, I'm not going to overreact to week one.
New coach.
We're going to new coordinators everywhere, a whole
right.
new staff. So, and a bunch
and
of
Idaho
new players.
Idaho State was throwing the kitchen sink at them.
They
See,
were,
man. They were
man.
Running all those trick plays
yes.
and all that
They were
stuff.
Doing everything that an FCS team has to do to
yeah.
compete, and I'd be damned if I wasn't pulling for them
yeah,
to
well,
win that
of
game.
Of course.
And
of course.
But Mullins, we'll see how he reacts to this, what kind of week of practice they had. I don't know who they got coming up this week.
Dude, they got Sam Houston State.
They do have Sam Houston
yep.
State.
Yep.
Wow,
right.
That's actually kind of going to be somewhat of a fun game to tune
into. And it's
into.
At Sam Houston State.
Man, two teams licking their wounds.
Yeah.
We're going to do. That's going to be where
What's
men become men.
That?
That's where you see what you're made out of.
UNLV's favored by 9.5.
Oh,
Oof.
Man. I was
at Sam Houston.
I was going to take Sam Houston State, but not that.
That
old,
sounds
spread.
Like a trap.
Yep.
I think you watch UNLV cover easily.
I thought it might be 17 or something. I was gonna go with it.
The over under 62.5 in that game.
Okay.
I don't know what to make of the over under.
Well, the Western under cost me my $200 parlay.
Yeah.
That's how good I did. I got 6 of 7 last week, and the one game, and I even boosted it up to 61, and that was just stupid. I should have boosted it down. And went for the over on that one.
Mm.
But I just, I'm a firm believer.
Freddie just can't, he can't force himself to do it.
Well, I'm a firm believer in new coordinators, new coaches, new players that I think the odds are with you if you bet the under in the first 2 weeks of the season.
I'm on the opposite end of that. I think the defenses are a little longer to catch up than the offenses.
Okay.
But no, if you're winning, man, go for it. Do what you're winning on. But I mean, is what it is. I don't know. That was week zero in a nutshell.
That's
that
pretty much it.
Yeah.
And now we can get looking forward to this weekend's games, which, as we mentioned before, start actually tomorrow night.
Right after
5:30.
Right when you get off work,
yeah.
We baby,
got a happy hour game,
there's
boys.
There's a game.
And not a uninteresting game
no,
at 5:30. We have a top 25 ranked Boise State, who we talked about at some length on our preview show. Playing,
as did we South Florida.
Playing USF.
Yeah.
And USF... we talked about the fact that they are not a team that's not to be trifled with this year. That spread is only 5.5 points.
You're traveling across the United States, playing in a humid Tampa area from Boise. How many times have we seen teams open up in muggy environments in Florida that are from the mountain area or out west that
yeah.
have – they go into shock as soon as they get in there. They're not football conditioned yet.
Right.
It's – we're going to see. This is – I know South Florida is pumped for this one. Their whole thing, when they come running out of there at Raymond James Stadium, they play that Bulls on Parade. Yeah. I love the atmosphere, man. Yeah. And but it's going to be wild down there. I think South Florida fans actually have something to be somewhat excited about, and this is one of the biggest games on their schedule. So, I mean, hell, this was a team that was in the playoffs last year. We're going to see what Boise State looks like without Ashton Jeanty.
Right off the get-go.
Yeah.
And on national television, the first game to kind of grab everybody's attention, because they're really... is not a...
Not hyped about that Ohio-Rutgers matchup?
No, no. I'm looking here at what other games we have.
East Carolina at NC State at 7.
Well, let's go to App State at... actually, Ohio at Rutgers is at 6.
Yeah,
that's what I was just saying. I'm not...
Oh, you don't want to talk about that?
There's nothing to talk about.
All right, well, here's the deal. I'm going to tell y'all real quick. Every team... that is not a power five team.
Four.
Ohio, East Carolina, Buffalo, Miami of Ohio. I'm taking the points in every freaking one of them. Because I'm telling you, Ohio is a good football team. And I don't care that it's at Rutgers. I think it's 16 right now, something like that.
15 and a half.
I'll be taking Ohio in that one. And that's just one to make sure I got that out. East Carolina at NC State. I know where Tuna's leaning with that one.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not betting on this game.
Oh.
I'm not at all.
Well, who do you like?
I don't really know. I would like to think that NC State wins this game, but I don't know if they cover the spread. I'm not handicapping an East Carolina in-state rival game to kick off week one on two teams with a bunch of new faces.
Yep, that spread's 14.
Yeah, right, that's now a game that you just don't bet. There's a lot of games in week one you don't bet.
I'm betting them all.
Yeah. And then by week four, you're going to be like, I'm done betting.
I'm hot right now.
Yep.
How about this for a pseudo-interesting game and spread? And I'm going to double-check and make sure that this is... Okay, so this is the game that's at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska and Cincinnati,
yeah,
who we had on our preview show, we said there's nothing to be said about UC.
Mm-mm.
Scott Satterfield is still there.
Nope.
That spread is only
five
six,
and a
half,
guys,
six,
guys,
six and a half.
I know we just kind of dog Cincinnati, but they're not bad.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think so. I mean, they went, what was the record? 8-6 not last year, 9-6 or 8-6.
They didn't make the playoff.
How many games did they play last year?
That's 14.
Well, I mean, you can look it up, but they had a winning record last year.
I hate to tell y'all.
That's why y'all acted like they won three games. They didn't. They won at least seven.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Let's look that up real quick.
And
because
most publications had Cincinnati higher than where we put them.
Well, that's why we're the trusted...
I'm with you, but
preview show and not the national.
I think that this game is going to be closer than people think.
Cincinnati went 3-6 in the conference and 5-7 overall.
5-7. There you go.
Not good. Look, this is a bad team.
And let me tell you this: if all the people that I've listened to nationally are relatively high on Nebraska this year.
I mean, I love betting this game. I'm taking Nebraska.
Yeah.
And I was very much surprised to see that the spread was only 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest,
that's going to be a home field environment for Nebraska.
Of course it will. You don't wait. You don't think the UC fan base is traveling to Kansas City for a football game on a Thursday afternoon?
There'll be two of them, and they'll be wearing Joe Burrow jerseys. So that's it.
Or maybe Oscar Robertson or something.
Yeah.
We get our first look at a team that you guys were pretty high on. We won't be able to know anything about them.
I just also want to say first, Travis, that I'm definitely betting Buffalo getting 18 versus a Minnesota team that I love this year. But I really respect this Buffalo team that won their bowl game last year. They have momentum. They have a good team coming back. We had good things to say about them when we were talking about Group of Five. We just talked scat by them real quick. But I do think that this is another Group of Five team that's going to play Minnesota tough. Sorry, Big Ten. But I just wanted to get that out of the way.
I'm tickled that you did.
Yeah.
We're going to get our first look at Missouri. We won't know anything about them. They play, I guess, Central Arkansas. Is that who that is? Duke is a 33
when
and a
is
half.
That? Is that Thursday?
That is Thursday at 7:30.
I didn't write that one down.
I don't even have that. Oh, yeah, there they are, Central Arkansas. Yeah,
that's a non-practice game.
How about a little MAC versus Big Ten action at 9 o'clock? Miami of Ohio at Wisconsin.
Well, I'm taking Miami of Ohio.
That's a 17.5 point spread.
That's right.
Again, I'm not betting this game, but if I was forced to, I'm with Fred on this one. I would probably take Miami Ohio to cover that. You just never know, like. Wisconsin at home, they should be bigger. They should be physical. The thing is, with these games, like I could see betting the first half spreads a lot more than the full game spreads if I'm forced to bet them. Because I think depth and size really starts to set in third and fourth quarters. You got guys that aren't in football shape yet, man.
First half unders, folks. First half unders.
The first half under is going to be pretty low in that one because the overall – over under is 39.5.
Yeah.
So they're expecting a relative slog.
I mean, if you all haven't bet a first half under and gotten your cold beer and you're like, let's go. You don't know how fun it is to bet a first half under that's 14.5.
I'd rather snort a line of fire ants.
I was going to say, if you're betting a first half under and aren't you saying, let's not go? Like anything, let's not go.
Yes.
You're just watching for chaos, and it's just like I can't do things like that. I mean, everybody has their style of bet, and I'm glad that works out for you, and I'm glad that you enjoy that. I think most normal people, they can't do that themselves.
We need to give Freddie one of those punters T-shirts that they were wearing.
I'm just going to get a shirt. You know what? I'm just going to get one that says bet the under.
Yeah.
Well, the under.
That's a perfect merchandise opportunity.
But I really do. I really am gonna. I think that these two teams remind me of each other. I know that Miami Ohio finished the season better than Wisconsin did, and I'm going to take 17.5. And I'm probably gonna. You know what I do? I boost it up too. And all my spreads are different because I boost them up or down. Normally 2 points. So I'm going to probably take Miami, Ohio, and the points.
Are there any other games on Thursday that we skipped over that you guys I didn't really see
that
anything running down?
No,
running
just
down
the Nebraska-Cincy game I think is the highlight of the night, and I am looking forward to seeing Matt Rule and what his team looks
true.
Like.
True, yes, yes.
I think that's the big thing Thursday night.
Travis's favorite quarterback.
Yeah. That goofy.
Yeah. Well, he gets to play at Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh,
so
my God. Oh, my God. It's his dream.
Yep.
I didn't even think
about
it. Oh, dude. He's going to be, like, posing. And
yep.
I wonder if he has an annoying little brother that could come out and
I hope he does.
Cause some chaos in the luxury boxes.
I hope he does, man.
Hopefully he's got all his receivers to play with him.
I'm looking forward to seeing Dane Key, how he fits into that offense. Like, there's a lot with Nebraska that I'm just really curious to see.
And I am really shocked. I am shocked. I know I was saying that Cincinnati's not as bad as maybe everybody thinks they are, but 6.5, come on.
Yeah,
I think I'm all over Nebraska.
If I'm handicapping this, I'm putting it at least 9.5.
Oh, dude. I'm all over Nebraska.
Nebraska should – I guess they're just saying a conference game on a neutral site. That's the only thing I can think of why they're keeping it low. It's week one. I don't know.
So that moves us into Friday. Friday we have the early games, not really anything.
Petros Papadakis will be calling the Western Michigan Michigan State game on FS1.
That was the first game that caught my attention at all.
Yep.
Michigan State's favored by 20.5.
No love for the Broncos.
Illinois plays Western Illinois, who, if I'm not mistaken, Western Illinois was the team that came into Bloomington last year that Indiana beat. I think it was 77-0. And the color commentator on the IU radio network, Buck Sewer, who's one of the all-time crusty, old, surly, old school football guys ever. I was listening to the game, and like in the third quarter, he was like, "Don, I'm not sure these guys have ever even practiced football before." because that was early. That was like the second game of IU, and he's like, "Don't take anything out of this. This is maybe." I think he might have said, "This might be in my 45 years of being associated with Indiana football, this is the worst team I've ever seen in this stadium."
That's impressive, seeing how Indiana played in that stadium for several of those years.
Yeah, that could not be more true.
I think when you get to Friday, man, you got two headliners.
Auburn and Baylor.
Auburn and Baylor.
Okay.
Georgia Tech, Colorado, right?
Yeah. Fred, do you want to break down the Wagner, Kansas game?
What's that?
Nothing.
No.
Those are the two. Those are the two games.
You're not going to talk about the Duke's Mayo Classic?
App State and Charlotte?
I mean, dude, it's the Duke's Mayo Classic. You got me buying Duke's Mayo now.
It's got twang.
Dude, it's got twang, I do like it.
It is. It's better than Hellman's.
Do we know what
Mayo is? No, nobody actually knows.
Is that Biff or whatever his name is?
He's in Michigan. He's the assistant. I put that on a text thread.
Okay.
When I found out Sharon Moore was suspended for a game, and then I found out that Biff Pogge,
that's his name, is
going to be the associate head coach or interim head coach or whatever, fill-in head coach for Michigan when he's gone.
Billionaire, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like a former CEO billionaire.
Well,
that just
they had
loves
a little cheater
football.
Come back and help him out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because he's got to prepare for the Chiefs this year.
But I know y'all don't want to talk about Kennesaw State first, but I do want to tell everyone for my betting crew, my betting tribe, that I do like Charlotte at home getting 5. And I will knock that to 7.5.
It's 6.5.
Okay,
right now.
I like it. I like it at 7.5.
I can't go against my App State Mountaineers, who are in a huge rebuilding season this year.
But, guys, you're right. This Auburn at Baylor, I mean, I am pumped for this.
Yeah. This is going to be, we're going to see.
This is like.
I think the pressure is on Hugh Freeze.
Oh, big time.
So,
big time.
He's got it. Now, Dave Aranda, he kind of got the pressure off of him with the way he ended last season.
I know.
And I really kind of, we're going to see what this Baylor quarterback's all around. Everybody's so high on this kid. We're going to see how he does against Baylor or like Auburn. This is going to be a fun game. I'm not betting this game.
Oh, I'm betting it.
Well, you're going to bet every game. I'm a selective gambler.
Right.
I don't just – because there's football being played, I don't feel the need to bet on it.
Well, I'm just a little fired up.
Yeah. Now, there is a game Friday night I am unloading on.
Okay, well, wait. Don't skip this game. We got to talk about this for a minute. So, this game is a 3 – what is it, 3 now?
2.5.
2.5 now.
Mm-hmm.
Dude – I mean, Baylor as
Auburn
a home,
favored by
Baylor
two
as a home dog.
Yeah. Always take the home dogs.
I mean, you almost have to, and you know I ain't pulling for Auburn.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So, Johnny, if you're listening, we're going to take your old school, and we're going Baylor bear hunting, even though I know Travis don't like some of the past coaches at Baylor.
Well, they're all gone.
They're gone.
And
Baylor's had some issues with
the coach of Auburn.
Bad coaches that get in trouble in both sports.
The coach of Auburn is at the top of my list of coaches.
That's a total turd.
That is a big.
He coached
phony.
A bowl game from the hospital bed. You got to give him credit for that, right?
And well, and as a Bama fan,
I don't got to give him credit for anything.
If there's two coaches that have the best record versus Alabama, one of them is who Alabama plays Saturday, Gus Malzahn, offensive coordinator for Florida State. He will give us some fits, trust me, and people will not understand that. They're like, Florida State's good. No, Gus Malzahn knows how to play Bama, and Hugh Freeze. Those two, remember when he was at Ole Miss, he beat us twice. Beat the great.
They're not playing Bama this week. They are playing Baylor.
And I'm on Baylor.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Baylor.
Even though I think Auburn has all kinds of weapons, and I think they're going to have a pretty good season. Let's get to the next great one.
This is the one.
It's at the same time.
Yeah,
right.
The Auburn-Baylor game is on.
God, look at this spread.
Network television.
No way.
On Fox. You flip over to ESPN. At 8 o'clock, Colorado is a 4.5-point underdog at home against a team that we all love, Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, rule number one of gambling is don't bet against the home dogs in week one. Well, I'm breaking the cardinal rule.
Me too.
I have hammered Georgia Tech three different times. About 2 months ago when I looked at this, and I was like, all right, and then I just keep on doing it.
I know.
And there's – I don't see a world where Colorado is competitive in this
game. Did you hear what Deion said today?
What'd he say?
He said he thinks he has collectively a better team than last year.
Well, we'll see.
I think that was for locker room.
Deion missed a lot of time during practice with health issues.
Yeah.
So luckily he's all right now.
Which we're very glad about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But still, it's a guy that's been missing a lot of time with his team at a time where you got a lot of new people. And you need your lead man.
Let's be real. This is a tough opening game for Colorado.
My biggest concern in this game is Georgia Tech going into the mountains to play at altitude in week one. Again, I've been talking about guys not being in football shape.
I never thought about that.
That's probably my only concern in this game. And at the end of the day, Georgia Tech is just a much better football team.
Right.
Than Colorado.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that this is – now I know
quarterback leadership. They did lose their great receiver.
They did. They got another one in.
To Georgia, but
– Yeah. No, I
– No, not Georgia. Where did he end up going?
We talked about – was it Auburn?
Auburn, yeah.
Yeah. No, so – I don't know, but what they brought in Eric Rivers. So I think they're going to be, I don't know. I'm pumped for Georgia Tech. I think they're in for a big season. I think Colorado, the altitude is a concern, like I mentioned, but at the end of the day, you take the better football team here, especially to cover that number.
And I also think that if there's a team that isn't going to let the altitude bother them and you just got to tough through it,
yeah,
out tough. Mm-hmm. I think Georgia Tech might be that squad.
I agree.
You know what? I don't have a T-shirt, but I'm gonna wear gold and navy Friday. that's my
home
team.
Field has a great Georgia Tech shirt. It's what is it? Something trade school. What street is that on? It's whatever street that the university sits on their address. It's that trade school.
Yeah, I remember,
which
seeing
I think
that.
Is really neat. But if you were ever going to get a Georgia Tech shirt, that's the one you got.
Georgia Tech had the old Lucky Stripe hat said Stephon Marbury, and then would wear.
Yeah,
and his crew, and they were awesome. Navy blue with the gold.
Yep.
And the bumblebee, the little bee on there. Yeah,
I. This is the one. Well, there's two ACC teams that I pull for besides Louisville, and this Georgia Tech and NC State.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
And then we touched on a little bit on the UNLV-Sam Houston game. That'll be some late-night football kicking off at 9:30. That'll be entertaining anyway. I'm not going to get into breaking down the game or whatever. We talked about it a little bit.
Freddie be feeling good right about the kickoff for this one, baby.
Yeah, that's going to be great because it's going to be right at the end of the Georgia Tech-Colorado game, the Baylor-Auburn game, and then you can turn over and watch the second half of UNLV-Sam Houston. So it's going
to
be...
And then you can flip at 10:30 to get your true degenerate late night hit. You can get your Central Michigan-San Jose State game on FS1.
Right. I don't know how them Chippewas are going to stay up so late.
I want to talk about the San Jose State game real quick.
What?
Of course.
What?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Are you serious?
He almost got into Kennesaw State Wake Forest. We had to stop him.
No, but I do want to say that there is something to be said about San Jose State.
Is
and
there?
San Diego State. These are two teams that, remember when I went back and looked at who has a great record, and this goes for a lot of these schools. Mm. What program, remember, who hasn't won a championship? Remember we went through that, and I was like, who's the number one team you think? And everyone was like, Miami, da-da-da. Appalachian State has the most wins since 2000, whatever. Well, guess what? Those are programs that do well every year. Toledo, James Madison, Miami of Ohio, Buffalo, San Jose State. These are teams. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Ohio, South Florida. These are teams that have programs, Marshall, that are not used to losing.
So
in their conference.
The entire MAC.
So when they're getting, some of these teams are getting, when these teams that I'm talking about, like Santa, are getting points. Now they're giving points, but
they're two touchdown.
They're going to be good.
Game.
But what I'm saying is, a lot of those schools that are getting points, like the Ohio's, the Buffalo's, the Miami of Ohio's, those are the schools you take the points on. Mm. Okay. San Jose State is going to have a good team this year. They were in my group of five conversation, but they were like 15th.
Well, when this game's ending up, I'm going to be tucked in bed sucking on my thumb.
Yeah.
Because the next morning is Christmas morning.
Make sure you put your phone on silent.
Oh, I am. I do that every night when about 9 o'clock.
He has that on a... Yeah. On a schedule.
Well, you will just on a Tuesday night randomly text at 3 a.m.
That is a trademark of Freddie Bender.
Yeah. I do not want to wake you up and say, San Jose State, that's a winner. Yeah.
Well, I know their top receiver from last year is a Louisville Cardinal now. So
yes. Oh, I think they're going to Central Michigan has
that's
no chance.
My extent of knowledge for San Jose State.
All right, and that's plenty of time to spend on those two teams.
Thank you, Travis.
Let's move on to the actual Saturday slate of
games. I better have him ribs ready by 11:45, right?
The actual slate on Saturday, of course,
I gotta have
totally
him on the smoker.
The marquee game of the entire week. Everybody's been looking forward to it. Everybody's pumped up about it. Of course, it's at noon on Fox. Big noon Saturday.
Hope you got your YouTube Fox situation worked
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Let's not ruin Freddie's mood.
What you talking about, Willis?
We'll get him at the end of the show.
What you talking about, Willis?
Let's talk about that at the end, possibly off the air.
Yeah.
Texas,
don't get me fired up.
Texas and Ohio State at noon on Saturday.
No
Ohio State, a 1.5-point favorite. Guys, I know this is kind of the off season. Everybody's been talking about it. The build up, it's finally here. What do you guys see happening on Saturday?
Well, first of all, we get, I think, four of the best players in all of college football on the field today, that day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith, those
for
guys
sure.
are incredible. Colin Simmons for Texas. I mean, he is a beast. This guy's a full-on freak of nature. Lock in on him when you're watching this game. And then Arch Manning, who I think is the second coming of the greatness of college football. Like, this kid has every tool in the book. And
I can't wait to see him play a whole game in a big-time environment like that.
We're going to see him just be completely calm and poised and go into the horseshoe. And I think Texas rolls in this game.
Now, let's not forget about Anthony Hill, All-American linebacker, Taffel,
stud
safety.
Talent all across the board for Texas and Ohio State.
Yeah.
But when I'm saying the four of the top players in all of college football.
Right.
Like those four guys.
DeAndre Moore, wide receiver.
No, he's a
Wingo.
Beast. I mean, the list can keep going with these guys. Like this is a ton of talent on one field at one time. And credit to both these schools for scheduling each other and keeping it.
Right.
Get stuff like this to open college football season.
I want to see how the running game works for Texas with new running backs. However, don't be surprised if Arch Manning runs for 80 yards or more.
Yep.
He is a load to bring down, and he has moves.
Yep.
People, if you haven't watched Arch Manning play in any of the games that Texas played, and I've watched him enough to know that this kid can freaking run with the ball. He is a load. I see him having – I don't see their running game hurting at all, because I think he's going to be running it a lot.
Yeah, I think he's really going to open things up for their running backs once teams start learning and trying to adjust to him. I don't think they're going to run Archie a lot. I think he's going to be an opportunistic runner. There's not going to be a lot of designed run plays.
They won't
Arch.
Do that.
No.
With him, right. Especially against that team, that defense this early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that's going to create plays with his legs just by necessity, right?
100%.
Just has to get out of the pocket, avoid pressure, get outside, and then either run for a crucial 3, 4, 5 yards, get a first down, or extend a play, find somebody down the field. That's his game.
100%. I think I feel like Texas rolls in this game. I think they can win by 10 points.
That would make me so happy.
I really do. I haven't done it yet, but I might alternate spread bet this and take Texas up a bit. I'm not as big as Ohio State. They're coming off championship hangover.
Right.
Week one, they don't get the little cupcake to start out the season. They get Texas coming right there
into
town.
And I'm telling you, Texas has some safeties and corners that can – it'll be interesting to see what Jeremiah
Smith Texas defense
do.
Is loaded up.
But I'm hearing great things about this quarterback for Ohio State, that he's pretty – legit. As
we'll
a
see.
Frosh.
He's going to have a hell of an environment to step in on his first start.
Welcome to big time college football.
Welcome
your first time
football.
Ever.
This but, is where you'd kind of like to open with a Western Michigan.
But I am all over Texas on this one too. Mm-hmm.
Better coach. I'm not going to say more talent. I'm going to say a more talented defense and a better quarterback.
Let me say another thing. Two new coordinators for Ohio State.
Yes.
That's coordinators.
That's huge, Fred.
Offensive and defensive. Man, that is not – you know, they've got to find their niche. And to start with Texas, the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Who was in the championship game last year?
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy.
No, this is –
But I respect Ohio State for playing this game.
Absolutely. I'm taking Texas big in this one.
I love that. And as I said, I'd be the happiest guy on planet Earth if Texas rolls in there and hammers
and
them.
Ohio State, they're already shot themselves in the foot. They banned Dave Portnoy, who is now part of Big Noon Kickoff with Fox.
Right.
And they're like, well, you're not coming into our stadium. And then the athletic director started backtracking and saying, well, we didn't do it. That was Fox.
Wait a minute.
He's a big Michigan guy.
Yeah,
he's a huge Michigan.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's always trashing Ohio State.
Yeah. He's a Michigan grad, went there. Whether or not you like him or not is beside the point.
Yeah.
The reason they're hot about it is that he's always – given Ohio State the business.
He was hired in by Fox to be the Pat McAfee role that Pat McAfee's taken over on ESPN.
Right.
On game day. So, so Ohio State's athletic director comes out and starts backtracking and saying, we didn't do it. And then everybody's calling him out and like, no, this was definitely your call. So, I think it's kind of makes them look weak. Nobody's even talking about the Texas game anymore. Everybody's talking about Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, like, and I mean, and honestly, who cares if the guy
nobody
shows
does,
up?
But
like,
it's just
matter,
a bad
right?
look,
well,
man.
Yeah.
It's a weak, terrible, bad look.
That's what I'm saying. Like, had they not done anything and just like
never
would have
been mentioned.
Nobody cares.
He would have took a couple shots.
Yeah, it would have been funny, whatever.
Exactly.
Or at least
play into it, man.
Ostensibly funny, and then you could give him some shots back, but instead it's become a whole thing.
Yep.
Which is
typical Ohio State stuff. So
Ohio State.
Jack Wagon.
Hook 'em.
Let's because we don't have time to go through all of these games.
Syracuse, Tennessee.
We've got to talk about that one, dude.
Yeah.
Because I think this is upset special.
This is 12 o'clock.
Yep, that's also
switch your TVs.
Also a noon game, also on national television.
Yeah.
On ABC, Tennessee, a 14-point favorite.
Yeah, this spread's actually went up. I think it was 12 and a half when it opened up. But I love Syracuse to cover here. I really – Tennessee, again, a lot of new faces. Syracuse.
And this game is in Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's in Neyland Stadium
right.
or nothing like
which
that.
Makes
it,
so.
It will
which
be
makes
broke
it
yeah. Tennessee.
But, well, there'll be a lot of orange there.
There ain't a bunch of Syracuse fans traveling.
But
so.
but it's different
it is.
In the dome rather than being on
I
campus.
I think that's why the spread's as high stuff. As it is because I don't think a lot of Syracuse fans are going to travel for that.
But either way, I love Syracuse to cover that number in this.
I'm not touching that game.
I think Tennessee wins and escapes, but
can
I like Syracuse
Fred
to really put
that?
A scare in them. Huh?
Can you believe Fred ain't going to touch that one?
Well, you're going to be busy betting Kennesaw State and Wake Forest.
Real quickly, I can't believe Tulane's getting sick. Only minus six at home versus Northwestern. I'm hammering Tulane. Mm-hmm. Let's keep looking, guys. Toledo, Kentucky, Travis.
Well, I was gonna go to.
I'm just going by times.
I was gonna go to our local teams after we talked about.
Oh,
the,
okay.
All the other
so
ones,
we're just gonna talk about the big games going
but,
on.
But okay. So I was gonna skip ahead to 3:30 because I know you're gonna want to talk about this. Bama and Florida State. Florida State getting 13.5 points on ABC.
Well,
Freddie. Let us know
well,
what's going to
happen. Here's the deal. I'm not, like, boasting my chest out on this game at all. And I think most of America, like, I've talked to a lot of fans around that are ready for football, and they haven't done the homework that we have, okay? Period. They haven't done the homework that we have. Did Florida State suck last year? Yes, they did. The year before, did they? Hell no. They should have made the goddamn playoff. But guess what? This year, they're back. I think that they don't have a bad coach. Norvell knows what he's doing. He had a bad year. I mean, maybe he does. I guess the tale of the tale is this year. But he does have Gus Malzahn as an offensive coordinator. And that scares Bama fans a little bit because he does have our number. He knows how to beat us. And I think he's a good coordinator. I think he's a good coach. They also have a great defensive coordinator now from the SEC.
I love that he left being a head coach to go be a coordinator again.
Well, I mean, yeah, he just wants to coach.
He doesn't want to be a head coach.
I don't like him.
He was fine
like
at Central
Gus.
Florida. He just was like, I don't want to deal with raising the money and kissing
right,
babies.
Right.
And now he's
in Tallahassee. And here's the deal. Do we have locker room material? Yes. Is the quarterback from Boston College decent?
No.
No. Squirrel White had 100 yards on us his sophomore year. He had 6 yards against us his junior
year. Josh Highpoint calling plays for him.
George Highpoint, right. And then I'm getting into, yes, Jam Miller is out, our running back, our stud, our all-SEC. Tim Keenan, our all-SEC, all-American defensive lineman, is probably out now. Shit, I don't like. I don't like that. Why is Bam always losing good players before the kickoff? I don't get it. But anyway,
it only ever happens to Bama.
I guess it does. I don't know.
It's crazy.
But anyways, here's the deal. We got some locker room material. I think we're gonna come out and play well. Tallahassee is not an easy place to play. If they're smart, they'll pull out every bell and whistle they ever have. I mean, like,
are they still
retired,
redoing that,
like,
one
they're
side
gonna
of the
retire
building?
Peter Warwick's jersey or something. I don't know. Like, do something, unless you're morons, to get the crowd into this game like Oklahoma did to us last year, when they basically brought Bosworth and Barry Switzer out of retirement.
Travis, don't you think that we've got a different Fred on text messages than we do in person?
There's no question.
Wait, I'm not finished yet.
Of course not.
Now, here's the deal. Yes, I think this game is going to be tough, but I think Bama prevails by 14.
They're just like, a little
I'm
old
not
ACC
touching
school,
the spread,
man. Ain't nobody.
But they are going to come out and play us. We're going against our old running back, Roydell Williams. We're going against Earl Little, our old corner. Half of Bama transferred to Florida State a year ago. It's gonna be a tricky game, trust me. And everyone that goes, oh, Florida State sucks, they got beat, they won two games last year. Well, this ain't the same team, dopeheads. You're the same ones that think you're gonna run over James Madison, and it ain't gonna happen.
Who's what?
Bunch of U of L fans have been telling me that Bama's gonna drum Florida State by 40.
Okay.
Anyways.
There's no need to bring Louisville fans
into
this.
I'm not.
Because you have insecurities.
I do.
It does not need to translate over into Cardinal football.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
No, but it's going to be a tougher game than people think. I do believe that. And hey, kudos to Bama for going to Florida State and playing.
All right.
Just like Ohio State, Texas.
This is the way that I see this
game.
We're
playing a big team.
I'm not saying Bama's going to win by 40, but I think you guys control this game off of defense alone. Castellanos is going to be a mess in this game. I just think Bama's talent on defense, it could be generational. This could be, and I'm not gassing you up, believe me, one of the best defenses we've seen in college football in quite some time. I honestly believe that. I think there's just a talent discrepancy here on that side of the ball. Now,
special
Bama's
teams for Bama, all brand new.
Special teams, whatever. Offense, I'm a little concerned.
Except for the receiving corps.
Yes. I don't know if you guys got a quarterback that's going to open up in an environment like Florida State and play under control.
I know.
But I like the defense to control this game for Bama and Bama to get out of this game with a win.
With Keenan out, I'm worried. That worried me a little bit.
I still like this team, man, a lot.
Well, thanks, Tuna.
Well, it wasn't a praise to you. It was more so a praise to the University of Alabama.
Okay. Well.
But I like Alabama to win this. I don't necessarily say I'm betting on this game. But, yeah, I don't see this one being within 10 points.
Okay, I want to say one thing about Marshall at Georgia real quickly.
There's nothing to say about that.
Getting 39, just for gamblers out there, Georgia and their head coach are 0-6 on opening games at Georgia against whoever they play.
Against
take
spread,
Marshall.
You mean.
Yeah, take Marshall. And the points.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Marshall's in a big rebuild year.
Keep going.
Well, they are?
Yes.
They've been in one. We'll skip ahead to 7:30. A game that Tuna, I really believe Tuna willed this game into existence.
Right. Yeah. I think he did.
Fred wants to talk about Coastal Carolina.
No, I'm talking about this game that Tuna is.
He willed this game into existence a couple years ago where he said, or I guess it was last year, where he said all he wanted to see was these two teams, and specifically see LSU come to Clemson and see how these two fan bases interact, what would happen. Dogs and cats living together type of scenario. It happens Saturday night at 7:30 on ABC. Clemson is a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Besides the game, and let's just talk a little bit about, again, the dichotomy between the two fan bases and what we think. You guys have been there in the recent past.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What's going to happen when these LSU psychos roll into town?
God. Well, this is what's going to happen. On Sunday morning, they're going to lock the town down and completely bleach everything. That's gonna happen before church Sunday morning.
Yeah. Corn dogs are gonna be a quarter.
Yeah. Greenwood is gonna be a scene on that Friday night. Everybody goes to Greenwood, South Carolina, because Clemson's such a small town.
Right. And Greenwood is a fun little area to party. It is fun.
But
they don't like
LSU's going to take that area over.
They will take that place over. Like, Louisville fans took it over to a certain extent. But LSU.
It's a whole different animal.
The tailgate is going to be amazing. I can just see, like, LSU fans just going up and knocking over tables of Chick-fil-A.
Like, what are y'all? Like,
get out of here. Like,
dude.
It's just like frying a gator up in the middle of that
For every slice of pizza that's there, a corn dog will be in its place.
Yeah, it's going to be. There needs to be, like, a split screen when they do this game of what's going on outside before the game and then the preview game. Like,
because they're literally going to bum rush some of these Clemson people that have their little tent set up where they don't want people to come up on their
family reunions, and they're
going to be like, "What are y'all doing over here? What's going on? Yeah. Like, what do you think about you think they're going to go? Well, you think they're going to tell them they got a good little ball team?
No, there's the going to be 20,000 Coach O's." Walking around in that parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, I'm thinking Clemson fans are going to wear white.
I would if I was them. Like, it's going to be a scene.
I would love to be a fly on the wall somewhere at this game. Having been there last year. Yeah. To watch LSU just come in there and find out that they can leave the stadium with a voucher and come back in, they will rip this place apart.
They may change that after this game. This may be the last time you're ever able to do that.
Well, they're probably going to take the metal detectors back home with them that you walk through.
I'm thinking that the Clemson fans are going to also, instead of doing their own little family tailgate, they're going to, like, team up. Like, no, we're all meeting over here instead of just us. We were going to have like 50 people.
Circle the wagons.
So they're going to have big groups of people.
Let's think about the kids that are out there throwing the footballs around.
Yeah.
And then like a couple 12-year-old LSU kids come up with like one tooth and like a ripped up 87 jersey.
What about the pimps and come rolling like, in with the with their pimp gowns on and stuff coming in. Just
elbow checking the little preppy kids. Oh, it's going to be spectacular.
You know, I hope and
leaking oil from their old RVs all over the place.
Oh my God.
We had talked about that, talked a little bit about the whatever that documentary, the SEC documentary or whatever. My God, send a film crew to the tailgate areas.
Oh man.
And do a whole season on this game.
Yeah.
I believe that you probably could.
I would just like to sit at Sunday morning mass and see what's said and what everybody's praying for. Because there's going to be some people that see some things that they've never seen before.
Oh, my God. No, it's going to be great.
Because believe me, LSU is coming, and they're coming with fire and fury.
And so with all that being said, and that's an all, you will not get a better breakdown of this game than that. Forget about the X's and O's and who's playing and all that. That's the best, the most entertaining thing about this game. But what do you see happening in the ball game on Saturday night?
Man, this is going to be a fun game. I don't think there's a huge advantage on either side of the ball. When I'm looking at this, the only way, and I think we talked about this a little bit, is the only way I can look at this is the only real angle that I guess I can find is the Clemson defensive line versus the LSU rebuilt offensive line. This is their first time kind of playing together. You know, you got a lot of new pieces there, and they're going to be in a loud environment.
The D-line is tough.
Yeah, I mean, you got what, T.J. Parker, Peter Woods. These are both top five, top 10 NFL picks.
Right.
They're, this is, I don't, That's the only mismatch, I guess. And we don't even know if it's a mismatch.
Great quarterback duel.
Yeah.
Between two gunslingers.
I think Nussmeier is a better quarterback than Klubnik.
He's way more of a gunslinger than this. Why is everybody? I don't understand it. I mean, I saw this quarterback with Louisville last year.
Yeah.
And he looked like a hermit crab.
Well,
I mean,
that was against Louisville, whose defense is not Swiss cheese.
But I don't understand why everyone thinks that. I know that he took them to the. To the promised land, and they won a game or two in the playoff, but I just don't see it. I see Nussmeier the better quarterback here.
Nussmeier, I give him the advantage. He's the better quarterback.
And he's a risk taker.
I think the wide receivers, at the end of the year, we may look back at this and say those LSU wide receivers are some of the best in the nation. Right now, I see it as equal. I really like some of these Clemson wide receivers.
I think LSU has them beat.
Okay,
my wide receiver.
I don't find that crazy
back,
at all.
I think running back's a wash.
Well, Clemson's going to be starting a true freshman running back.
And LSU, I haven't heard any big running back stories about any of their guys, right?
No. So we don't know how guys are going to play. That offensive line, like I said, that's the only angle that I can really find in this.
LSU's corners, and I know they have a good defense, a better defense this year.
But there's no Stingley Jr. The past 2 years has really been a step down.
You know what I mean? There's no Stingley Jr. out there. I hear there is a freshman that they're trying to pump up like the Honey Badger. But I'm just saying that, the days of some of these other guys, Eric Reed and some of these badass safeties.
Yeah, I mean, it was DBU
DBs.
For a good,
I
you know, 12-year stretch.
I think they might be there next year, but maybe not this year. But
I've got to see a lot of things from this defense for LSU before I can get on board with them.
Right.
Being a championship contender. Because the past 2 years has not been LSU defense.
But
they've got pieces.
Right.
But they don't have it as a whole, and they have yet to really play together as a whole.
And I think we talked about this game earlier, guys, last week or week before last. And I think we all took Clemson.
Yeah, I'm taking Clemson to win.
I got to tell you, I'm changing my mind.
Okay.
And I've been talking about this all week. I've been battling with this all week. And I want to say that I am taking LSU. In this one, I did talk to Josh and some of those guys, Johnny, I've been texting him about it, but, I just think that, I don't know. Clemson is not scared of the SEC. Trust me. And the athleticism of the SEC, but there's something about, LSU that I just don't forget this thing with Brian Kelly where he's lost every home opener for like certain amount of years. I just think that streak's going to end.
Okay.
I think it's going to be tighter than hell. They may come.
I wouldn't be surprised
goal.
If LSU went in there and won. I just feel like the only angles that I can find in this game kind of lean toward Clemson.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It's going to be a freaking great game.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait.
I hope I'm wrong because I would love to see
purple.
LSU beat them. I really would.
Does it get
any
better than orange versus purple?
It's orange and purple versus yellow and purple.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's a lot of purple. There's going to be a lot of purple in there. Yeah. And we don't really have time to go through any other games on Saturday night.
Travis, there's really not that many. We can, on the round the horn.
11 o'clock kickoff with Utah and UCLA.
Well,
okay.
I was going to mention that one at the very end of the program.
I just want to tell y'all that Utah's not good either.
They are. I think they are.
But there's really not any. I think the Colorado State-Washington game is going to be a better game. I like both of those schools.
Washington's favored by 3 touchdowns in that one.
Well, guess what? Colorado State, take the points.
UCLA's only is actually a 5.5-point underdog. But it will be cool. I mean, again, if you're a late-night degenerate chasing your losses.
Or you're just coming off of a high of watching, like, amazing college football all day long.
And that game kicks off at 11 o'clock at night on Network
and guys,
television.
I want to throw one more game out there. Maybe I should do this on Around the Horn, but yeah. But dude, Texas San Antonio at A&M is going to be a fun game. Okay, I think A&M is going to blow them out, but yeah. I get it. I just think that
yeah, because I mean, when there's 600 games,
are we going?
We
Sunday?
Can't go through
are we going
every
into
single
Sunday?
One.
Are we going into Sunday here?
Of course we are.
Okay,
that's what we got. We got to move.
Yeah. So Sunday we have two games. Big time games, at least one really big time game. And
Son, Holy Spirit.
What was that?
Catholics first convicts. Let's get to it.
Well, 3 o'clock, Virginia Tech and South Carolina.
Which is going to be a great game.
South I think Carolina's, we're going to see the South Carolina exposure in that game.
Yes, we are.
They're favored by 7.5.
Yeah.
That's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neutral site. I got to tell you, I think we're going to find out that everyone's going to go, damn, Virginia Tech just beat South Carolina.
I could easily see that happening.
Yeah, I could too.
We're going to see some South Carolina exposure here. I do not think they cover that.
Our listeners know that we like VTech this year to do better, and we don't like South. We think South Carolina is going to drop a little.
Yeah.
Even though they have a great quarterback.
All right, well, that's all we're going to say
that's
about
it.
That.
That's it.
Now we're getting into...
Give Travis a stroke tonight.
Now we're... Oh, my God.
We got a little vino over.
Can I edit this thing and take out all references to
every college game that he's mentioned?
No, I think
the
people
three
love
Mac
this.
Games.
I think people that want to bet are going, wait a minute, what Freddie say real quick? Write that down.
I think this is going to be a good game, but they'll blow them out.
7:30, the game we're all looking forward to, Sunday night.
We'll be together.
Notre Dame at Miami. Miami is a 2.5-point underdog. The over-under is 49.5. ABC,
good
national
God,
television, will have the game. Fellas, what's going to happen?
Let me open this up. Which team do y'all hate worse, for God's sake?
Oh, I don't hate Notre Dame.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, last time we talked about him, y'all didn't even want to bring him up.
Well, no, I don't.
I didn't.
I've never, as a matter of fact, I was a big Notre Dame fan I always rooted for them growing up because they were from Indiana, and Indiana wasn't worth a damn. So I liked Notre Dame, and I still have a place in my heart for the nostalgia and the pageantry of Notre Dame. And
when Ron Paulus first Jerry wore the Fouse. Green jersey, I was like, that's really cool, and I kind of like Notre Dame. And then I seen the movie Rudy, and I was like, never again.
And I certainly would never, and I didn't really understand Miami, the Schnellenberger thing and all that. All I knew, when I was growing up, I thought Miami was the enemy because they were cheating or whatever. Well, now I find myself really, I loved those teams.
Yeah, I have Tony Rice's autograph.
But I, in this particular game, if I have a rooting interest, I will be cheering for Notre Dame. That's just me.
Damn, right. I mean,
I don't really care, honestly.
Nobody wants to pull for the convicts.
Yeah. it's Mario Cristobal. It's nothing really that I have against Miami. I just feel like if he was unable to win with last year's team, which was as loaded of a football team as you could get,
right?
This team's not going to do it. Now, this team's going to be completely different because that defense should be pretty stacked.
Better.
I don't see Carson Beck and them putting up a lot of points. That offense and the weapons that they had last year was incredible. I don't know. Notre Dame, if you're ever going to get them, it's going to be week one when you're breaking in a new quarterback.
Dude.
I don't know what to do in this game.
Notre Dame by 14, 17.
Yeah, probably right. I'm going to take the under in this game.
49
and a half.
I like that under. I like that under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the smartest way to bet this game.
Yeah. I mean, there's
you're
really,
taking an under.
I'm taking an
I
under.
Mean,
get it, Tuna.
I've got this is, high expectations for this Miami defense this year. And then Notre Dame, I don't know. Their running back, Jeremiah Love's one of the best running backs.
Yes.
And they're going to slog along with him
yep.
through this game. they're going to let their quarterback grow naturally.
Notre Dame's defense is no slouch.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm leaning into an under on this. Yeah. I just feel like the pace of play in this game is going
to
be an under.
To be leaning into an under is really kind of a benchmark moment from this program.
Is Colin going to be there for this game? Is he going to be here?
Yes.
Sunday night. We're going to have an under
party.
There's a chance we may all put in a into a pot and all bet the under in that game just for fun.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
And then quickly, let's touch on Monday night just because.
Yeah, it's Bill Belichick.
Belichick's first game in college football. TCU in North Carolina. Carolina is a 3.5-point underdog. Anything to say about that?
I'm just curious to see Gio Lopez.
Yeah.
He was a stud at South Alabama. Let's see how he translates here. Sonny Dykes, nothing but respect for the guy. Great coach at TCU. I don't know what Bill Belichick's going to look like. It's just this is just a curiosity game of closing the weekend
That's
out.
That's exactly
more
what
than
it
anything.
Is. It's an absolute.
Right. No team's going to get penalized for a win or a loss.
Yeah.
I have to watch it just to see what happens.
Just to
right?
see.
It's a
just
great
to watch
hangover
him on the
game
sideline.
At the end
I want
of the
to
night.
See
yeah.
how he reacts to his kids. And stuff. Yeah. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah.
But I am going to tell you, I'm sorry to break the bubble, but TCU's going to win by 14.
Good. All right.
I have no idea.
I love that.
9-3 last year. They're fighting for the Big 12 championship. They are a better team by far. And if something happens that he upsets them, watch out, ACC.
Last quick thing before we call last call. Indiana plays Old Dominion. Louisville plays
Eastern. Nothing to get
That's
into.
That's a blowout.
There.
Kentucky plays
Toledo. A tough Toledo team.
Fred, I'll say something real fast about that game.
Here's the deal. Kentucky, no one really knows what's going on up there. They've kept their heads down. They've worked hard from what we know.
Kentucky's 9.5-point favorite.
Kentucky is favored by 9.5, which surprises me a bit. But I will tell you this. If Kentucky can I have Kentucky winning this game, but I think it's going to be maybe even closer than 9. If Kentucky can win this game, which is going to be a quality win for Kentucky, because Toledo is in the group of 5 top 10, or top 8, and they got Ole Miss coming in, they can have a maybe possible good season if they can pull a second upset. I think Toledo is very well coached, good team. I got Kentucky winning this game in a tight, tight one at the end.
All right.
Are we doing picks?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
I'll talk about Toledo and UK when I do my picks.
With last call. Mm-hmm. We've gone already an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
So it is
perfect.
It is time now to call last call. With that, I thought if you have them, everybody do 4 official picks. We'll do 4 official picks, and I know Fred probably has 15 picks.
Yeah.
So pare those down a little bit.
Oh, my God.
We can send out the rest
Most
of those.
Most stress I've had all night.
We can send the rest of those out on social media, but I don't want to bog down people with 18 picks.
No.
So let's do 4, 4, 4, and Colin has sent me 4. Tuna, last call.
All right, real quick before I get started, I just want to wish Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift a happy engagement.
Wee-hee!
We're all excited about that. Love. and oh as far as picks go, I'm going to start out here with Texas to cover the 1.5 against Ohio State. They are 1.5-point dogs. They win that game outright. I'm taking Syracuse plus the 14 against Tennessee. Love Fran Brown. New faces in Tennessee. Bad look for the Vols. I am taking – I know this is where I'm flip-flopping here. I know I said Kentucky was going to lose to Toledo a few weeks ago. This spread has been all over the place.
All over.
Was 12.5. Got all the way down to 7.
Wow.
It did. I've never seen a spread move as much in my
life. It's been everywhere. I like UK to cover this 9 points.
Yeah.
I really do. I think Kentucky's just going to run the ball. I don't know if this Toledo quarterback can throw the ball vertically enough to get going. I like Kentucky to cover this 9. I can't believe I'm saying that from where I stood a few weeks ago. And then to close it out, this is easy. UCLA to cover – or I'm sorry, Utah to cover the 6 at UCLA late night. And now we all know that I'm taking Georgia Tech. That's not on the official card. These are just Saturday's picks. Georgia Tech and Nebraska.
Georgia Tech. Okay. Fred, are you ready, or do you want me to go with Colin's picks first?
Go with Colin's.
Okay. Colin, of course, it wouldn't be a Colin pick if he didn't take Indiana to cover the 23.5 against Old Dominion.
That checks out.
He is taking Virginia Tech plus the 7.5.
I love it.
He is taking Clemson minus 3.
Love it, Colin.
And he is taking the over 50.5 in the Bama Florida State game.
Over.
Well, say
he's
going to
be sweating that one
he's
out.
He's taking the over 50.5 in the Bama Florida State
game.
Over 50.5. Fred, I can go ahead and do mine real quick if you need a minute.
Sure.
I am taking Georgia Tech.
You got 50 bets. Just pick 4 of them.
No, I got them.
I'm taking Georgia Tech to cover the 4.5 at Colorado.
Nice.
I'm taking Ball State to cover 18.5. They're giving 18.5 at Purdue. I'm taking LSU to cover the 3.5 at Clemson. My first
lock.
Stone cold lock of the season. I am taking Nebraska to cover the 6.5.
Okay, I love that.
Against Cincinnati.
There we go. I knew you was a De La Raiola guy. DJ.
Oh, well, I mean, how can you bet against that guy?
Exactly.
I mean, how can you bet against him? Fred, we've vamped all we can here.
All right, I got all 8. Options. I got 8. Here we go.
No, you got 4 official ones.
Four official that go on your record.
That go on the record.
4 official. All right. Give me Notre Dame minus 2.5 over Miami. Give me TCU minus 3.5. And they're playing who?
UNC.
Yeah. UNC on that one. Give me Georgia Tech minus 4.5.
I think we might be cursed in this Georgia Tech Colorado game.
We could be.
I don't think there's any doubt that we are. Now I'm rethinking my entire mentality.
You know what?
Primetime's going to get our ass.
You know what? Take that one off for me. Take that one off. I want Colorado State plus 21.5 against Washington. And then, I mean, Tulane at home minus 6? Come on. I'll take Tulane at home. No unders. I got 1 under. I'll give that to you on around the pot.
Well, you're on it.
This is last call. So if you got it, you give it to me.
Oh. Okay.
He just blew his brain up.
Okay.
Okay. Or...
All right. Good talk. I think now's the perfect time to have a discussion about YouTube TV.
Oh, my God. So here's the deal, Fred. As these things go all the time,
I will go against Colin, and I will tell him that I will take the Bama under.
Okay,
how you like that? There you go.
50 picks throughout the show, and he was sweating to find 4 of them there at the end.
It would appear, Fred,
just
that
the 50 best ones.
It would appear that. YouTube TV and Fox are at some sort of an impasse right now.
What? What do you mean mean? I thought you YouTube TV was like untouchable.
Well, they are
this
fighting.
Ain't Spectrum.
They have been touched.
They are fighting.
So
with
now
Fox.
They're Spectrum.
They're fighting with Fox right now.
Oh,
they,
my God.
They sent an email out a couple of days ago.
Oh, right before the game
yes,
starts?
And said,
you're all screwed.
If we don't reach an agreement, we're going to take Fox off of
today at 5
YouTube
o'clock.
TV.
Fox
oh, yeah.
my ass.
Did they do it?
I have no idea.
What am I going to do about the weather?
If I was you, I'd go on and get your antenna warmed up. And ready to use
now,
for Saturday.
Now, seriously, guys. Seriously.
Seriously.
Neither one of y'all are going to be at my house. What the hell are you talking about?
You need an antenna.
You're telling me Ohio State, Tennessee is not going to be on a... I'm not going to be
Texas.
Able to find Ohio State, Texas?
Nope.
On a TV?
Nope.
You can get it on the one that has the rabbit ears.
Yeah, you need rabbit ears.
Oh, well, I got that son of a bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
You
get
go.
Your antenna
okay.
warmed up.
Fuck off, then. Dude, nothing makes me more mad than this bullshit when they wait. And
it happens
they,
every year at the start of football season.
It does.
But I didn't know YouTube was involved. I thought this was about old school cable.
Oh,
companies.
No.
They
no,
negotiate
no.
to carry
Zoom,
those channels
Fox
just like
and,
any other company.
YouTube?
Yeah. They will, I believe, get it worked out before kickoff. But
maybe by NFL kickoff the following weekend.
So what other games am I going to...
It was DirecTV last year. Mm-hmm. I think it was Spectrum the year before that.
It was.
So.
It was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know it was mm-hmm. because I had both.
And see... We probably shouldn't even brought it up because now we may have ruined
his. Oh, I am
his,
fired up.
We may
now.
Have ruined his mood for the next.
Oh my God.
2 days.
I'm gonna sleep fine. Gonna...
Before we get out of here, I did want to quickly mention a big congratulations to my buddy Mick, one of the great guys, IU guys, tailgate guys that hang out with all the time. He bowled his second 300 game
nice.
Of his life
wow.
the other night.
Get it, dog.
And that was pretty cool, and I told him that I would mention it on the show
hell
tonight.
Yeah.
And so I did, and congrats to Mick. And before we get out of here, without getting into
it's a bowler's name right there, Mick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And and he's good, man. I've watched him.
I don't know
I've
how they curve
on,
those balls.
I've
like
watched
that.
Him on. Oh, he's a curver.
Yeah.
We're not
know.
Showing up till Mick gets here.
I'm a guy that can bowl. If I'm really on my game, I can bowl about 115.
Uh-huh.
If I'm off my game, it's like 78.
Yeah.
And my ball has to go straight.
Yeah, I can't. I got to throw straight. I don't know how people do curveballs.
No, I don't do curves.
I almost
either.
Dislocated my elbow trying to throw a curveball. I don't know how they do it.
But
I do have a little slide though. I got a little slide.
Congrats to Mick. I will see all you guys on Saturday at the IU game. Can't wait for that. Cannot wait for this entire weekend that starts tomorrow night of college football. Want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the show and if you have a friend that likes the show or that likes football, please let them know where to find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. So, for the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one who's betting on 70 games this weekend, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.